Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today focuses on cluster B personality disorders. This is a tough topic because cluster B personality disorders are among the most challenging of the personality disorders that we know about. And it's probably the most researched group of personality disorders.
Yeah, especially the borderline
personality
disorder.
So as we mentioned before, the DSM-5 differentiates 10 different personality disorders. Yesterday, we talked about cluster A personality disorders. Mm-hmm. There were three of those. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about cluster B, which includes four different personality disorders. And we'll kind of go through each of those. Tomorrow will be cluster C, which includes three others. So cluster B personality disorders are identified as very emotional, very sometimes unpredictable, but very, very sometimes unstable.
Is it fair to say cluster B is a disregard for the rights or the feelings of others? There's sort of this. What are the four? What are the four that you're going to be talking about?
You want to go ahead and go through them like that?
No, just.
There's four. There's antisocial personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, and narcissistic personality disorder.
So in one way or another, these are about focusing on myself at the expense of everybody else.
Right. Okay. Without considering
others. Without considering either their rights or their feelings or something. So the overriding characteristic of the cluster B personality disorders are that I am either excessively focused on myself, such as the narcissistic, at the expense of everybody else, or I am going to completely disregard the rights of others, trample all over them, and that would be the antisocial personality disorder. But the characteristic here is that you're so focused on yourself that you don't regard, think about, consider the rights and feelings of other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into it. And they're very dramatic and very erratic and things. So let's get into them. Which one do you want to start with?
But there's a histrionic.
You're going to start with histrionic?
It's probably the...
You're going to say easy?
I was going to say easy because histrionic and narcissistic are the easiest to understand, I think. Okay.
Yeah. Because because those are all words that we use to describe somebody who has some of those behaviors, whether they have the personality disorder or not.
But what I like about histrionic is that this is something everybody should know about because you're going to encounter people with histrionic personality disorder in your life. You already have. You already are. So, yeah, let's start with that one.
Okay. So histrionic personality disorder is a person who includes characteristics from a person who is very attention seeking.
Right.
So what you see
how do they do it?
Wait, let me say this first. Because on Friday we're going to talk about the assessment of personality disorders because it's really, 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 really important that you differentiate personality disorders from someone who, in this specific example, someone who has been traumatized that results in a change in behaviors, such as what we're going to talk about here in just a second. So there is a massive diagnostic differentiation that has to happen before you diagnose somebody with any personality disorder, especially any of these personality disorders. All right, so there's a little disclaimer. Because histrionic is a person who is very attention-seeking, and so they may behave very sexually provocatively. Right. They may dress in a provocative way.
Their makeup, their hair, all those things.
They engage in behaviors that are very provocative.
That draw attention to themselves, okay? And everything is big.
Everything is dramatic. Right. Expansive.
And it doesn't matter what they encounter, everything is big and the emotions are big, but mm-hmm. it's all done to draw attention to myself. Right. That's that cluster B, is that exclusive, excessive mm-hmm. focusing on oneself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's all about gaining the attention from other people.
And what do we, and the term that young people use there, drama queens.
Drama queens.
Is the concept of the drama queen. Is you're starting to move into histrionics,
or very big, yeah.
You have kids who come in and they have pink hair, but teenagers tend to be a little histrionic,
right?
Okay,
that's why I said so that's what I was careful. Saying about the diagnostic part,
because most teenagers, because of the personal fable and all mm-hmm. that stuff, tend to do things that we typically associate with histrionic personality disorder, coloring their hair, mm-hmm. body piercing, shoes.
Right.
They come in with mesh nylons and Doc Martin boots and shorts and all this stuff, which is done to draw attention to mm-hmm. themselves. But that's not abnormal in teenagers, mm-hmm. okay? It might be, mm-hmm. but that's why you have to be so careful,
right.
okay? If somebody comes in who's 35 dressed like that, mm-hmm. then you start to worry.
Right.
Okay, so why does this person have this need mm-hmm. to draw attention to herself?
Right.
But it's not the only way. It's not just through clothing.
Right.
It could be through clothing, behavior, how you talk, how you act, how you mm-hmm. behave, anything you do to draw attention to yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. You are a little gender specific there, because it's much more common in females than it is in males, but it can occur in males as well.
Not the exclusive province of females any means.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is more common in women, females, but it can occur in men as well.
Absolutely.
They don't necessarily wear fishnets.
They do all the same things. It's just the male analog of what a female is doing. You know, we tend to think of females, but absolutely men. And it's more and more common today mm-hmm. with men mm-hmm. wearing makeup or, you know, doing things which is common and acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yes, by all means, this happens. Men usually do it with their bodies.
Right.
You know, getting buff and getting muscular and, mm-hmm. you know, all that sort of stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one that you mentioned mm-hmm. That we would do next is narcissistic. Very, very similar, but it's but the difference here sort of extends beyond just trying to gain the attention. It's the perspective that they are in fact superior, that they are more important, that they are more qualified.
And more entitled.
And more entitled,
you know,
right.
But I'm entitled to this because I'm smarter than you, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm better looking than you, because I'm wealthier than you. But mainly it's these internal qualities, mm-hmm. not just money and status. It's the internal of an intellect or beauty mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. decency, or I'm just superior.
Right.
I am just superior. I'm a superior being. Maybe I come from the Anunnaki or something, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm mm-hmm. better than everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they have a very difficult time empathizing with others. They have a tendency to sort of dismiss or negate the opinions and thoughts and feelings
ignore.
Of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they themselves, they see themselves as very important.
Mm-hmm.
That acts out in lots of different ways in different settings, you know.
Right.
I've seen individuals with narcissism, and what they would do sometimes it's just very interesting, subtle things. Like, you know, they will give me or anyone, any doctor that's working with them, give them permission to tell them, to give them advice.
Right.
And it's a very, again, very interesting
subtle thing that if you're not really paying attention to, you could miss.
Right.
But it's sort of like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give you permission to give me some information because it's probably stuff that I already know.
I'll let you talk, you know, but yeah. I probably already know all this stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Or sometimes it's not so subtle,
mm-hmm.
and people will come in and they'll say, you know, I'm smarter than the average bear, which
right.
is like, okay. Okay, that's nice. That's a not so subtle hint.
Right, right.
But you're right. There are others, even youngsters, even teenagers will come in. Even young preteens
mm-hmm.
will come
mm-hmm.
in. And they have been, it's as though they've been told that they're really smarter than everybody else. And nobody really understands them because they're so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into your office with that attitude that,
right.
that, you know, you really can't tell me anything and it's your fault and it's somebody mm-hmm. else's fault. I'm special. Oh, what was it, the X, about the kids with, not X-Men, was it X-Men, the movie? They had special powers, like they could move metal and...
Well, there's a lot of those, yeah.
The guy was in the plastic room, their leader, they put him in a plastic room because he had...
Oh, yeah, that was X-Men.
Was that
yeah.
X-Men? That they have special powers.
You're talking about Magneto.
Yeah.
Put him in a plastic room. Okay.
Right. So those kids who had those special
right.
powers, and they're youngsters who or teenagers who almost believe that they're that special,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're somehow
yeah.
different.
Yeah, it's
else.
Not the magical like we had
no.
that we talked about with
it's not fantasy.
Schizotypal yesterday, mm-hmm. but it's on the level of specialness.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And they have this sense of entitlement. They deserve to be treated better. They deserve
right.
they deserve your adoration.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the next one I want to talk about is antisocial.
Okay.
Because I want to, well, you'll see why we skipped to go to use borderline last. But
mm-hmm.
Antisocial, there's something very important that we have to differentiate
right.
here. And that is, when we think antisocial, we think against social. People come in oftentimes and say, I'm antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll describe themselves as being aloof and wanting to stay away from crowds and...
Mm-hmm. Which moves
what we talked about yesterday with cluster right. A personality disorders, that is, and I would change the prefix from antisocial to asocial.
Asocial.
Asocial
right.
means that you are removed from social, that you
mm-hmm.
You don't want to engage in social interactions.
Which is
like
cluster
that.
A. Cluster that moves you to cluster A.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Antisocial means against. Social.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what we have here is a person who will lie, manipulate, take advantage. They will break rules if they're able to get break rules.
Right.
Anything that they can do to promote or advance or gain a higher status for themselves.
That's right. That's right. Again, it's that overemphasis on myself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
at the expense of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to, I mean, sad as it is, we have youngsters who will steal from their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10, 12-year-old kids
mm-hmm.
who want something, they'll steal money from their own grandparents.
Right.
That's antisocial behavior.
Right.
Right.
And so we have, yeah, there's a lot of, we think of a lot of problems, a lot of criminalistic behaviors
mm-hmm.
that fall into the category of antisocial. But there's a lot of other things that, a lot of other behaviors that we celebrate sometimes
right.
that fall into the category of antisocial. And I'm sorry to say this for some that may be listening, but many of our CEOs and big businessmen and
mm-hmm.
politicians sometimes may possess characteristics associated with antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you think about what has to happen, you know, in some way you have to step over or, you know, you have to work against other people in order to gain some of those statuses.
I think one of the most common that's in the news is the Wells Fargo mm-hmm. fiasco, you
right.
know, where they opened up all those accounts. They didn't hurt anybody physically,
right.
but they went after them financially,
mm-hmm.
you know, and did things they shouldn't have done. So that's antisocial behavior.
Right.
I'm going to do something that benefits me, and I'm going to do it at your expense,
right.
and I don't care
right.
that I'm doing it at your expense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's many times you have to hurt other people,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to,
or you
again,
feel
let's be, well, let's
people
be,
who have this.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, if you're going to succeed in business,
mm-hmm.
There are going to be times where you're going to have to hurt other people financially, sometimes emotionally. No.
You're not talking about you have to. You're talking about if a person has.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. No,
you're just saying, well, if you're in business, you're going to have to hurt people.
Well,
you don't mean.
Well, let's
we're
use
in
an
business, but we don't hurt people.
Well, but let's you. But at the same time, you know, if at the same time, I'm doing things. We do things in our practice here to attract more people to come in for treatment and to try to get help here, which in a way. If there is another therapist here in town that does some of the same thing, we're going to want to, you know, and we think that our model is better or that the approach that we take is superior to theirs. We're going to do things to try to encourage people to come here as opposed to go there. And if they do that, then it's going to potentially harm their business by them coming here. So in a way, and that's what I mean by there's these subtle pieces that are antisocial in nature, it's not, you know, certainly that is very different than, you know, not to pick up, we'll just say big box stores. What big box stores do to mom and pop stores in small towns when, you know, you have this massive box store that moves into an area and then all of a sudden, you know, all of these mom and pop stores have to close because they just can't compete with the prices. That's very different, you know. I don't think that the CEOs in those companies are necessarily thinking, haha, we're going to go in there and we're going to, you know, knock these mom and pop businesses out of business. But that's what's happening. I mean, there is some awareness that's a potential.
Would you call that antisocial personality disorder?
No, not personality disorder. I just mean traits. That's when we get into personality disorders, it's that.
I don't think that anything we do here is antisocial.
No. I don't think it's. I'm not articulating it very well. It's.
Here's
if there's a spectrum. We talked about spectrums.
If a big box store has a business model that is designed just to generate as much profit as possible, and they do that. By hiring workers part-time and not giving them benefits, that CEO is antisocial.
Right.
That's designed specifically to deny them what they're entitled to so that his bottom line looks better.
Right. Okay.
What we're doing is not antisocial.
Right. No, okay. And I hope it didn't.
But the CEO example is a good one.
Right.
Because there are CEOs who will at least deny the rights of others, ignore the rights of others, not do what's right for their workers in order to increase their bottom line.
Right. And I hope it didn't come across as though it sounded like I was saying that we're antisocial, because the difference here is, you know, again, thinking about our practice here, is while we may work to bring in individuals to come in here for treatment because we feel like we have a good model, a good system for what they need, at the same time, we will refer to those other facilities and send them patients if I feel that they provide something
could
better.
Could do a better job, right? We do that all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So to me, the that's why I was going to say it's kind of like a spectrum where you have some of those behaviors that, you know, if that power is in the wrong hands, could lead to antisocial-like behavior. But you have to, you know, make sure that, you know, it doesn't get that exaggerated. You have to think about what the focus is of what you're doing.
And the shorthand that we always use, or most of us use, is our prisons are full of people with antisocial personality disorder. That's who ends up there. Typically are people who, if they're really guilty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crimes. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. They've stolen from others. They've hurt other people. They've, you know. So,
well, it's just the only differentiation I was making was there's a lot of people in jail for smoking pot.
Right. And victimless crimes are different. We're talking about there are lots of people languishing in prisons who shouldn't be there. But, you know, you take the CEO of a company who has, you know, there are a lot of people who have committed white collar crimes, antisocial. The reason I mention that is because a lot of criminal behavior is antisocial behavior. Mm-hmm. And in teenagers, because antisocial personality disorders diagnosis isn't made until you're over 18,
right.
18 and over. Prior to that, we call it conduct disorder.
Right.
Okay. And so, but how do you know conduct disorder? Conduct disorder is you've broken the law.
Right.
Typically. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done something illegal,
right.
blatantly illegal, in defiance of the law.
Right.
Okay. So that's the conduct disorder, which at 18 becomes antisocial personality disorder.
Right. Right.
So we typically associate it with criminal
right.
behavior.
Right. Right. Now the last diagnosis here, and this one could have its own. You have your own podcast completely on borderline.
Yeah, when you go through these websites, they're brief explanations, and then you get the borderline.
Yeah.
And then it really expands. It explodes into pages.
The reason I say borderline for last is because borderline, the person with borderline has characteristics of all of the others that we've talked about.
Do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Why borderline?
There are a
people
couple
always
of,
ask that. Yeah. What does borderline mean?
There are a couple of different reasons for that. And I've read different mm-hmm. reports in different places.
Right.
One is that it's sort of the borderline between antisocial and histrionic.
Let me think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Between what?
Borderline between antisocial, what we just talked about.
Between antisocial, which
and histrionic.
Is against other, and drawing attention to yourself.
Right.
Okay.
There's this push and pull that happens that we'll talk about just in a second. The other explanation of the use of borderline that I've heard is that many times individuals with borderline personality disorder, their symptoms are so severe that they are borderline psychopathology.
That's the one that I usually mm-hmm. associate with it.
Right.
Is there somewhere between, in psychology or psychiatry, we talk about mood disorders and thought disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, typically we have those two large groups. This is borderline is the borderline between these two things.
Right.
A little bit of this or a little mm-hmm. bit of this, and it depends which way it moves.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a mood disorder or a thought disorder.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So borderline, again, this is going to be very abbreviated because this could be a lengthy discussion. We could do a whole course on borderline.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
I know what you're thinking.
I have an idea.
I know.
But people with borderline tend to have difficulty with feelings of abandonment. Mm-hmm. They have, and instead of just going through some of those specific types of things, some of the common characteristics or behaviors that we'll see is the person will build relationships with others very, very fast, very, very strong,
very
emotionally
intense.
Strong, intense right. relationships very fast,
mm-hmm.
And just as quickly abandon
and
destroy or walk away from those relationships.
Right.
And so that's that push-pull that I was just referring to. They will pull people close to them very close, very fast, but just as quick push them away.
Right.
Their moods tend to be less regulated, and so mm-hmm. you get the highs and lows. Many times people, again, you got to be careful with this, but because I don't want, just because I'm going to say mood disorder, I'm going to say mood swings. We'll talk more about this on Friday.
That's a mood disorder.
Right.
Okay. So,
But you'll see mood swings. And a person will come in and say, well, I have mood swings. And they'll tell me about your mood swings. Well, I can go from happy to mm-hmm. angry to sad
right.
to happy, all like in the course of an hour,
right.
depending on what's happening. Mm-hmm. And they'll think that that's bipolar disorder.
Right.
That's not bipolar disorder. It's along the lines of what we think about with emotional dysregulation in borderline personality disorder.
Right.
And again, just because you had that doesn't mean that you have borderline. But that's the type of mood variability that we see with bipolar or borderline personality disorder.
Right. They don't regulate their mood
right.
well. They're not in complete control of their mood.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if we think of borderline being somewhere between a mood disorder and a psychotic disorder, they do have these mood swings, not the kind of dramatic mood swings that you see in bipolar disorder, and they're not as regular
right.
as you see in bipolar disorder. Tends to have regular mood swings,
mm-hmm.
the ups
mm-hmm.
and downs,
but they're in a particular mood state for a period of
for
time.
For a period of time, that's right.
You know, at least a week.
The depressive episodes last maybe for months,
right?
And then they might have a week of mania, but there's a regular,
mm-hmm.
there's a cycle, there's a rhythm to it. With borderlines, it changes very quickly because they
mm-hmm.
don't, I don't want to say borderlines, a person with a borderline personality disorder, They don't have complete control of their moods.
Right.
They're sort of a victim to their own moods.
Right.
Okay? And the moods are driven by kind of odd or bizarre thinking, which moves you over to this thought disorder
right.
side, the psychotic
yeah.
side, is that
yeah.
you're driven by kind of unusual, bizarre thinking
right.
about people and about yourself.
Right, there's some paranoia about what other people think about them.
Right.
You know, if
trust.
Something doesn't go... Right, trust is really important. If they don't, mm-hmm. they feel like something didn't go quite the way that it should, you know, then all of a sudden they think that, okay, this person's out to get them
you
and they're going
me.
To... Right.
You know, there's some... You're after me. Well, no, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about you when I did it, but a person with a borderline personality disorder takes everything in a very personal way.
And this is where you say, you know, you get those, you know, everything's not about you.
Right.
Because this is taken that way.
Mm-hmm.
The really concerning thing with borderline personality disorder is the risk for self-harm,
right.
Suicidal ideation. There's a lot of concern and worry about that. So.
And also homicidal ideation.
Right.
Because if I feel that you're after me, I'm going to, might consider a preemptive strike
right.
and hurt you either legally or financially
mm-hmm.
or even physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may attack you on social media.
Right.
Because I think that you're somehow
mm-hmm.
disrespecting me
mm-hmm.
or you're somehow
right.
criticizing me. And because I have a weak ego structure,
right.
I tend to become aggressive
right.
Either against myself,
mm-hmm.
self-harm. Or I attack another,
mm-hmm.
Which is aggression toward others.
Right, right.
So
cluster B personality disorders are very challenging.
Very difficult.
The
mm-hmm.
treatment,
difficult
which we'll talk
treat.
About on Saturday, is very difficult.
Right.
But these can be very serious
mm-hmm.
diagnoses that have
right.
major implications. So
right.
We'll talk more about the assessment and treatment later this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's
mm-hmm.
it. All right, that's all for today then. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.